With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. This is the Joe Hoff Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, we are back. This is Joe Hoff Show, and glad you're here listening to us. We've got an incredible show again today. We'll be starting off with Adam again here in moments, talking about some more breaking news. And then after that, we have John Paul MacIsaac joining us. John Paul is, of course, the computer repairman whose life changed one day a couple years back when Hunter Biden walked into a shop and left his laptop. And never came back to get it. And that is a story in itself. He's come out with a new book. We'll talk about that. But we'll also talk about the more recent events regarding classified information and the Bidens and the criminal crime family, the Biden family, which involves Hunter, Joe, brothers, sisters, everybody, a bunch of sick people. It's a real sick, sick, sick family. And so we'll be talking about that. But maybe to kick things off here, I'm just going to encourage people to go out to the Gateway Pundit today and go and look at the top story right now. I just saw it. Steve Bannon had Jim on this morning, as well as Kara Castro-Nueva, as well, and who I've had her on the show before, as well as other individuals. What's her name? Gosh. Talking about the riots at the Capitol on January 6th, Julie Kelly, sorry. They talked today that we've got some exclusive footage of Roseanne Boylan and her death. And she was one of the four Trump supporters that got murdered that day. We'll just say it, that she got murdered. All of these guys got murdered. So we know Ashley Babbitt, and we've heard Ashley's mom on the show in some of the most emotional discussions I've ever had. Incredible interviews. She almost won. I felt like weeping afterwards. And her mom's just a real spiritual lady who's somehow made it through this life-changing experience for her. Her daughter was murdered at the Capitol by a Capitol policeman who according to our records, they've never even investigated the guy. They've let that guy go scot-free. And her body is dead, and I thought about what Professor Clement shared with me, who will be on our show again tomorrow, about how he was out there, and every night these people go to the DC jail and hold calls with those inside the jail, and then they all sing the Star Spangled Banner together at a certain time of night, and across the street usually is a couple goons from Antifa, Black Lives Matter. One lady's over there screaming to Ashley Babbitt's mom, "You know where your daughter is now? There's maggots crawling all over her body." This is who we're up against, people. This is what we are facing. We're facing maggots like that. It's just so disgusting what some of these people had to go through. Mickey, Ashley Babbitt's mom. And now we're finding out more information on Roseanne Boylan's death. She was in the tunnel in the Capitol. The Capitol police started spraying these people with this toxic chemical. We don't really even know what it was. And these people are, trying to breathe. They're trying to get out of there. Roseanne Boylan then, the cops then get these shields and push all these people. And they push them on top of each other. And unfortunately, Roseanne Boylan was on the bottom. Another guy somehow survived due to Jake Lang, who we've had on the show. Jake Lang's sitting in prison now for 2 years without a trial because he was the one who saved the individual lying on the ground, smothered and buried in bodies next to Roseanne Boylan. And he was holding Roseanne's hand when she died. And he talks about that and how Jake Lang saved his life. Jake Lang pulled him out from the bottom of that pile. And Roseanne, nobody could get to. By the time they reached for her, she was dead. And they pulled her out. And then the police started beating her dead body. There's video coverage of this policeman beating her dead body. And this black woman who was doing it later was given tickets to the Super Bowl. She was labeled a hero by these people that stole the election and that set up Americans at the Capitol that day. At the same time, by the way, Gateway Pundit came out with some more video coverage yesterday of Ray Epps, More coverage showing Ray Epps leading the crowd into the Capitol. This guy who's never been indicted, he was on the most wanted list and suddenly he fell off it and he's never been indicted by this corrupt group of people in our DOJ. Everybody knows Ray Epps' name. Say it, EPPS, Ray Epps, look it up. The guy was there, he was leading the charge. He announced the night before that he was going to. He's a gentleman maybe in his 50s, big tall guy, and he led that charge and he has not been charged with a single crime. He walks free to this day. Who is this guy? I think we know he's a member of the deep state, but exactly who is he and why has he not been charged? This guy, more than anybody, should be charged with instigating a riot. But that's what they want to charge President Trump with, who was way up on top of the hill telling people to protest peacefully. And this is what they're doing to Americans. And then here's this dead body of Roseanne Boylan getting beaten by a cop who later gets tickets to the Super Bowl. This is what we're up against, people. These are the people we're up against. They are maggots. Their day, it'll be split seconds, record-setting moments when they die and how quickly they go to hell. Because these people are sick and destructive and murderous, lying, nasty people. Nasty from the streets of hell. And that's what we got going with this. Wait till you see these videos. I just saw them, and I'm a bit emotional here seeing what happened that day and how our government's covered it up. And that's what Julie Kelly says in the third video in the top story at the Gateway Pundit. Now, she shares on Bannon this morning. They talk about Roseanne Boylan. You should know her name. Know her name. She was murdered that day, and now we have video coverage. And Julie Kelly says, hey, these cops, these policemen, they murdered these people. This was a police attack on the American people. This was nothing other than that. She said, these people that were there, no, there's something going on. There's something going on. And there was five Capitol policemen who soon after this committed suicide. And Bannon asked Julie, is it because they felt bad about what they did that day or what they saw that day? Or is it because they were going to come out and share what they knew about that day? And suddenly they're dead. We don't know. We don't know. And we can't say everything's a conspiracy. We've got to get the truth out, throw it on the table, and let's discuss it. So that's where we're at with all this. It's just a mess. And at the same time now, we've got this mess over in the Ukraine. Where now Biden's saying, oh yeah, let's send tanks to the Ukraine. And that's what our producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus, wants to talk about today. And it's just a mad world, isn't it, Adam?
Oh, it is indeed. And unfortunately, it's a mad world where there are a bunch of mad people with their fingers on the, metaphorical button, as it were. Yeah. We do live in a world full of nuclear weapons, so I'm always quite concerned when we seem to be escalating things that could get out of control and lead to the proverbial World War III, as it were. But Russia did just come out and make an official statement in response to Biden's decision to provide these tanks to Ukraine. And as they say, them's fighting words, Joe. So we might be in trouble here. So according to Fox News, Russia reported Thursday for the first time regarding the decision by Biden to send Abrams M1 tanks to Ukraine, accusing it of quote unquote direct involvement in the conflict. And therein lies the problem. During his Wednesday announcement, Biden said the shipment of tanks that he classified as, quote, the most capable tanks in the world were not, quote, an offensive threat to Russia, end quote. Apparently, they disagree, Joe. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov clapped back at this and speaking to reporters on Thursday, said, quote, there are constant statements from European capitals and Washington that the sending of various weapons systems to Ukraine, including tanks, in no way signifies the involvement of these countries or the alliance in hostilities in Ukraine. We categorically disagree with this. And in Moscow, everything that the alliance and the capitals I mentioned are doing is seen as direct involvement in the conflict. We see that this is growing, end quote. Ouch. Russian officials have repeatedly accused the U.S. and NATO allies of being directly involved in the conflict, despite the lack of Western troops in the war. Senior defense officials described the Abrams tanks as the best in the world in a background call Wednesday, but Moscow has remained largely unreactive to the news from Washington, despite accusing Germany of escalating the war following its decision to send their Leopard 2 tanks earlier this week. Let's see. Russian ambassador to Germany, Sergei Nekiev, said Wednesday, "This is extremely dangerous decision. Oh, this extremely dangerous decision takes the conflict to a new level of confrontation." Adding that the decision to send the Leopard tanks to Ukraine was, quote, "the final refusal to recognize its historical responsibility to our people for Nazi crimes." Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova also claimed it was proof of a war planned in advance, echoing Moscow's claims that NATO was planning aggressive action against Russia in the lead up to the war. And yeah, I don't know, kind of seems that way.
Well, it's a lot of propaganda from both sides, you know, so it's hard for us to get the truth. And that's unfortunately where we are today in this world. But I think most Americans are like, you know, you just committed major crimes in Afghanistan. You left billions of dollars there for the Taliban and China. And now you want us to jump into a war in Ukraine with Russia. I mean, I think the average American's like, maybe we should pause here a moment and decide why we're even over there. You know, with Afghanistan, we had a reason, I thought. I thought it was the Taliban destroyed our city in an act of war and knocked down the, you know, it, you know, committed war crimes against the U.S. I didn't have a problem with attacking the Taliban personally, not then, and I quite frankly still don't today, to be honest. However, the way they finished that war after 20 years was a disgrace. It was horrible. And this and just after getting over that, then the goons in the White House want us to jump into a war with Ukraine. To me, it's insanity, Adam. It's plain insanity. What are we doing? I tell you what. Yeah. Here's a piece. Let me just mention this. President Trump came out with a 8 hours ago with a truth from Truth Social. And he says this in all caps. First come the tanks, comma, then come the nukes, all in all caps. He says, get this crazy war ended now in all caps. And then he says, it's so easy to do. And he's absolutely right. We could snap our fingers and this war would be done. We'd be out and the world would be safe. But like you're saying, Biden seems to be sending tanks. And you know, and here's the thing too. You don't just jump in a, you know, you need lessons to drive a car. You don't, you know, you're certainly going to need lessons to be able to run a tank. And we're just going to send them over there and expect these people to just, you know, drive them around. And here's the thing too, those tanks may be awesome, but they can't stop bombs from falling on them from the sky. And right now Russia owns the sky. So what are, you know, it's insanity that's going on. The Bidens are just insane.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously that's another concern is how are they going to use them? Does that mean we're going to have to send us, you know, civilians there who could now be caught in the line of fire or can be perceived furthermore by Russia and other people as, wow, this is turning into something we don't want to see. This is World War III here. You know, this is crazy. And what's really frightening is this involvement of the NATO countries because of the whole classic principle, an attack on one member is an attack on the entire alliance. Mm-hmm. You know, it all remains to be seen, but you know, I don't trust the you know, most of the spokespersons for any administration, to be honest with you, but the U.S. Security Council spokesman, of course, good old John Kirby came out and, you know, when he comes out, he says, don't worry. And I'm like, well, when he says, don't worry, I start to worry. So he said, all I can tell you is we've seen absolutely no indication that Putin has designs on striking NATO territory.
What a scam. He's a scam.
I didn't wake up today and say, yeah. hey, I wonder if Putin has designs on striking NATO territory. Mm. But now I have to wonder it because John Kirby absolutely. Came out and said, no, don't worry about that.
He lies every other word that comes out of his mouth. Obama found this guy during his presidency, and he made him in charge of the military communication spokesman. And you're like, where did you find this guy? He's just really one of the most dishonest people you ever met. And he stands there and talks so polished and stuff. He's a total, in my mind, fraud. He is disgusting. He doesn't say anything true. And so it just only made sense that he'd be coming into the Biden administration. I mean, he fits perfectly with these guys. So it's crazy world right now. I tell you what, Adam, we're going to have to let you go, but thanks so much for dialing in. Great topic. Again, we could talk about this for hours, but really appreciate you taking your time to join us.
Yes, sir. Catch you tomorrow.
Thanks so much. We'll be right back with John Paul MacIsaac, the man whose life changed the day that Hunter Biden walked into his computer repair shop with a laptop. Be right back.
You should hear what Patrick Henningsen's talking about.
Sweden's NATO bid is on the rocks. We saw this coming, and it is the most incredible series of events. It's almost like it was a hidden hand somewhere making this happen. I mean, the Swedish government, I guess in their bid to show how tolerant they are, even of their sort of ultra right-wing bloc, there is this protest outside the Turkish embassy in Stockholm, burning Korans and other things, some of them even worse. Now, why target Turkey? Sweden needs Turkey's bid. They need their vote for the NATO membership bid. It has to be unanimous. They need Turkish support. This is going to cause a rift in NATO. Looks like Finland, they might be sort of shoehorned in, but could Turkey drag their heels on Finland as well? Kurdish activists are basically making noise, present at the Turkish embassy protests. And then you have the sort of, quote, far right in Sweden. And they're just out to create a spectacle and kind of ramp up the anti-Islamist hate. So burning Korans, that's interesting. Imagine if Muslims turned up at the Swedish embassy or the U.S. embassy and burned Bibles. Would that go down well or not? I don't think it would go down very well. The Christian right would be calling for jihad at that point.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of hosts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Are we on the air?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air 24/7. Your news talk giant, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoft, and we are back on The Joe Hoft Show. And I have a special guest with me today, and I've chatted with him before, and he's got all sorts of information, and I can't wait to talk more with him in regards to what's going on today and just information that's happened since he came out with his book. And John Paul MacIsaac came out with his book back in November, and the name of it is American Injustice. And I want to encourage everybody out there to go and get a hold of this book, purchase it. You support John Paul MacIsaac for doing this. The guy's been under incredible duress and financial duress as well since the day that his life changed when Hunter Biden walked into his computer repair shop in Delaware. So, John Paul, welcome to the Joe Hoft Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, really happy to have you back. And there's so much going on. And maybe before we get started, I was just talking and just saw a piece up at the Gateway Pundit at the top story right now about a January 6th individual who got murdered that day. Her name is Roseanne Boylan. And the story is more and more information is coming out on what happened to her. Of course, we knew about one individual that died that day, Ashley Babbitt. But not a lot's been said about Roseanne Boylan. As a matter of fact, Jim looked last night, says in this entire 800-page report from Pelosi, Roseanne Boylan's name's not mentioned. And she was murdered that day by the Capitol Police. They started spraying these people in this tunnel, apparently. I didn't realize she was in a tunnel. And then all these people couldn't breathe, and then they just used their shields and just pushed into these people and basically buried them, caused a massive mush pile. And unfortunately, Roseanne Boylan was on the bottom. She couldn't breathe, and she died. And people tried to help her. There's another guy next to her by the name of Philip. I remember his name. We can get him on the show someday too. He was saved by a guy named Jake Lang. Jake tried to pull out Roseanne Boylan's body, and it was too late. She died, and she was smothered to death. And while that body was laying there, her dead body, this police person, Capitol Police woman, started beating her with her club. This body, and then the Capitol Police said that she died from drug addiction. The lady was in recovery, was leading meetings at the time. She showed up on January 7th because she was a patriot. She thought our election got stolen, and what I'm thinking about, John Paul, is how all this goes back to, you know, and how all the pieces fit together. But a big piece was what happened to you that one day when Hunter Biden came stumbling into your computer, you know, repair shop. So maybe to start things off, maybe you could tell us, you know, how, you know, when was that and what happened that absolutely changed your life ever since then?
Well, it was April 12th, 2019, about 10 minutes before closing, and Hunter came in, stumbled in with three liquid damaged laptops. One was a write-off. I handed it back to him. The other one, I felt bad for the guy because I thought it was his dead brother's computer. So I gave him a keyboard so he could facilitate his own backup. And then the third one, I had to check in and perform the recovery on. And that one is the one that, well, became the laptop from hell.
And we've been through this before, but just for the benefit of those that don't know your story, and I know it's in your book as well, American Injustice. And I encourage people to go out and grab a copy. The thing was, it wasn't just that he left it there, and then legally it became yours. Maybe you can explain that, but then you can explain some of the events that occurred after that leading up to the 2020 election.
Well, so when I did the recovery, because a lot of people think, you know, it was a repair. No, he just wanted to get the data off. And in the process of recovering the data, I saw a lot of very sensitive and very personal images and videos. I didn't think much of it until about 2 weeks later when his father announced his candidacy for president. And then I realized that I was sitting on a time bomb of definitely embarrassing material that no family would want to have revealed. But I also saw a lot of documents during the transfer that showed a lot of exchange of money and the name Burisma multiple times. And it wasn't until it became my property after I repeated attempts to have him come and collect that laptop. An automated Square billing thing was sent out to his email. I knew his phone was working because I called him up on the 15th to say, you need to drop off a drive so I could transfer your data back. And he showed up on the 16th to drop off a drive. Why he never answered the phone or responded to the Square automated payment request, I have no idea. But it became my property in July. I did a deep dive because by then in the news cycle, Burisma and Hunter Biden were in the news, and I felt like I was sitting on something criminal, but I wanted to make sure before I reached out to the authorities. And it didn't take me very long to see the criminality that was on that laptop. So by the end of the summer, I made a plan with my father to reach out to the FBI, which he did on October 9th. He tried to get them a copy of the drive. They refused to talk to him. They kicked him out of his office. Then about a month later, about November 1st, an agent reached out to my father in an effort to get a hold of me. I agreed to meet this agent at my home. He showed up with another agent. I once again tried to give them the laptop. They refused to take it. And then finally, December 9th of 2019, the agents showed up to my shop with a subpoena, where I was overjoyed that they were finally going to get this laptop out of my shop. During this time, the impeachment hearings had taken place. So now we were looking forward to the impeachment trial, and I felt it was very important to get this laptop into the hands of the authorities so that the White House would have this evidence that shows this blatant pay-for-play scheme being run out of the White House and or office of the vice president with Ukraine. And the FBI took it. They also told me not to talk about these things. In their experience, nothing ever happens to people that don't talk about these things. So I probably should have heeded their advice. Instead, after the impeachment trial, when I realized that the FBI had no intention on acting on the criminality on that laptop, they cared more about protecting the Bidens than they cared about seeking justice, let alone protecting me. So I sent my father and my uncle, both retired colonels in the Air Force, to reach out to members of Congress, to no avail. And finally, in late August of 2020, I was so afraid of losing my business and having my identity leaked. I mean, I still want nothing to do with this life that I have, but I knew that I had to do something. So I reached out to a lawyer for the president of the United States, Rudy Giuliani's office, and got in contact with Bob Costello, who was his lawyer, and overnighted him a copy of the drive on August 28th, which apparently the FBI was eavesdropping on. October 14th, the New York Post ran a story. My information was leaked, and I was getting death threats. My ability to tell my side of the story was replaced with this idea that I colluded with Russia to affect an election, and I was forced to close my business and leave town and go into hiding for about a year.
I didn't realize you'd close your business. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. No, I about 3 weeks after I shuttered the business on November 2nd, and I got on a plane November 5th, and it was kind of scary.
And that was all after the election, as you saw the election unfold, and then a couple months before January 6th. Amazing time frame, and I'm so sorry this happened to you. I don't need to ask you where you landed, but are you back doing business in the same type of business, or have you landed on your feet? Are you doing anything else? What's your current state?
I ended up in Colorado and bounced around between aunts and uncles and cousins, and I have a lot of family out in Colorado, and they were incredibly supportive. Kind of settled in outside of Denver, and actually went to school for woodworking because I tried to open up a Mac business, and I think I had a Facebook page up for about 30 minutes before somebody posted that he'll steal your data and give it away. That wasn't going to do anything. So I figured I'd take a hobby and try to turn it into a profession. So I enrolled in a community college for woodworking. And then during my legal battle with Twitter, I kind of saw the writing on the wall when they switched judges with me. And the judge threw the case out about late July, I think, maybe early August. And with prejudice, and awarded Twitter Florida slap statute. So I'm like looking at bankruptcy, and my biggest fear is the only thing of value in my life is my home, and I'm 1,500 miles from it. So for me to not lose my house if I file for bankruptcy, I had actually come back to Delaware and occupy the residency. So that's where I've been hiding out for about a year.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. You know, just unbelievable. It's, you know, it's like what's in a sense, maybe, you know, it's like Roseanne Boylan. I mean, that day there's pictures of her walking down to the Capitol, smiling with one of those yellow "Don't Tread on Me" flags over her shoulder. She's just a girl who liked President Trump, who felt like there was something screwy with this election. And here she is, you know, moments later, really, her life was over. And that's how things happen. It happens so quick. I remember hearing years ago, it's like with freedom comes responsibility. And you know, you don't know what that means until you're put in a situation like you were. And they don't tell you the rest of the story. They don't tell you that, of the people that signed the Declaration of Independence, a number of them went bankrupt. Some were murdered by the Brits, you know, hung, you know. They don't tell you that part, you know, and that's just the way it is. You know, it's just really, really tough. And to stand up against this and do the right thing, it's not easy. And that's why people don't always do it, because it's just plain not easy. Do you have any regrets? You know, go ahead.
Sorry. No real regrets. I mean, I know that I know that I handled everything honorably and the way that I felt this, the systems were in place for that are supposed to exist for things like this, where a citizen should be able to go to the authorities with criminality without fear of repercussions or retribution or retaliation. So, you know, I know that I did it right because I'm still a free man and I'm still alive, and I definitely feel like I have half the country behind me supporting me. So I have no regrets. I think that it's a scary world that we live in, where you can actually die for loving your country too much. And it's something that I never thought that I would see. You know, whoever decided to label my actions Russian disinformation obviously didn't care or even look into who they were affecting by judgment.
No.
They were like, we need to make sure history goes down with this narrative, and then we can move on to the next. It worked for the last 3-4 years. It worked from 2015 to 2018. Why not try it again? So I'm not going to let that go down, because I love my country. Maybe being raised in a military family helped with that. Maybe having two fathers that fought in World War II helped with that. You know, I just can't allow this to go down like this. I'm not going to have my family's name tarnished or even remotely be associated with any activity that could be labeled traitors.
Yeah. Well, and this is what you have. You have your integrity, and nobody can take it away. And you've proven that it means something to you. And that's worth gold. That's priceless. You know, in the Bible, they talk about the just and justice, and it's priceless. So, you know, my hat's off to you. Just, I want to say that, you know, you're a hero. What you did was courageous and not easy, but, you're an American hero. You'll go down in history, in our history, as certainly one of the key figures of this past decade.
See, I grew up around heroes, and every year I go to a gunship reunion where I get to hang out with my heroes. And anybody who decided to put on a badge or wear a uniform, they're the hero. I did not volunteer for this. This is something that dropped in my lap, and I did the right thing, which hopefully, as much as the left or the establishment or deep state or whoever is desperate to make sure that I am punished for doing the right thing, that they're going to make an example out of me, I hope after all this is settled that I am an example to the next guy that is given an opportunity to blow the whistle or to do the right thing, that they won't be as afraid, or they will have a little bit more courage and a little bit more confidence, because they know that doing the right thing, that they're going to have enough of the country behind them that it'll be worth it.
Mm. Well, and I just recently, you know, learned that it wasn't, 100% of America that was fighting the British. There was a lot of people that were on the side of the British, maybe half. And there was, it was a small percent of people, really. I heard 10, 20% that were really fighting the British. And you don't know that from history, that it's not always the major part of society that gets involved with this stuff. It's maybe a much smaller percent, and which is an epiphany for me. So much we could talk about here, but what I really wanted to talk to you, about today is the most recent information that's come out from the Biden gang. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding out is that Joe Biden had classified documents that they were sitting around for maybe 7 years, maybe longer, that they've maybe in boxes now. I just read something today. Senator Ted Cruz says there's like 1,200 boxes of documents at the Biden Center in Penn, University of Penn. So it must be in Pennsylvania, probably not far from you. And that these documents may have a lot more classified information. And so when you started hearing this, was there anything that rung a bell? Was there anything that like, I wonder? Anything like that as we're hearing more and more information?
Well, the first thing that popped in my head was this is a cover-up. And because I've seen it before. When the FBI came to the shop with a subpoena, even though the grand jury was out of Wilmington, Delaware, and I was expected to show up on this date at this office in downtown Wilmington, but instead of showing up in lieu of, I was to hand over these devices. But a clever reporter did a search and they discovered that the subpoena was actually issued out of the Baltimore office for a white collar crime. And I thought, well, how better way to hide a laptop in a unrelated case in a different office that's going to have a lot of technology devices. So that's my first thought was, if you're going to be facing congressional inquiry and there's going to be several committees requesting documents and information from you, what better way to get rid of that, to tuck it in a top secret folder and then sneak it out the door under the watchful eye of every news organization out there? And I think that like many efforts in the past to challenge the credibility of the laptop, its timeline and the contents, there's going to be this could just be an effort to muddy the waters, to confuse the public so they don't know which time the FBI is visiting Joe's house, or it could be a way for Joe to sneak a rooster past the sunrise.
Interesting. Any of these documents that have been released that you believe, anything you saw on that laptop, and I guess maybe let me ask you, how well do you think you know that laptop? Because I think like Julie Kelly, or maybe not Julie Kelly, but what's her name from the New York Post seems to divine. Miranda, is it Miranda Devine?
Miranda.
I think she seems pretty competent. I know at least one other guy, a friend of ours, that may know quite a bit on there. What's your, you know, understanding of that laptop? How well do you think you know it? And is there anything in there that maybe as you look back, you think, maybe that was classified? Anything like that?
Funny you bring that up. So there's a section in my book called that I titled The Burisma Grift. And I wrote it mainly because I felt that I needed to show people what I saw that forced me to go to the FBI, that I didn't go to the FBI because of a crackhead with a gun. I went to the FBI because of the wholesale of this country to our adversaries and our pay-for-play scheme, basically, that was later our President Trump was accused of participating. So one of the first things that the emails that I saw was that as Miranda just brought it to light is an itemized list that Hunter was sending to Devin Archer that definitely looks like somebody else wrote this email, that it was not consistent with the normal writings of Hunter. And in specific, there was a section at the bottom that I mean, and it's just refreshing to see that I wrote something in a book over a year ago that is now in the news and then people are looking at and questioning, because it definitely raised some red flags in my book. And trust me, I got my investigative journalist degree at Rodeo Clown School. So I'm not, it's not my day job, but it does bring to light something that I've always had a fear that obviously the FBI demonstrated that they were in on the deal, that they colluded with our mainstream and social media to repress the story, to run cover for the story. They were working for the Bidens. But it begs the question if any other agencies were begging or were helping the Bidens as well, or assisting or offering assistance to the Bidens. And I think when you look at this email and look at the descriptions, the way Russia's described, Ukraine's described, the acronyms for the People's Republic of China, and then at the end, there's one specific sentence that has already, and I wrote specifically about this in my book, where it says we should also find a highly credible and discreet firm to perform due diligence and deep information for us on an ongoing basis. The kind of people that can get us information that's not readily available through a Google search or some phone calls. We can use our own funds to pay for it, and I'm sure your buddies down in Little Creek have some trusted independent contacts that can do that sort of work. And I actually, when I read this email when I was doing my research in the late summer of 2019. I called up my father. This is before I involved him in on this, because my father spent some time at the CIA during his 31 years at the Air Force. And I asked him, I was like, does the name Little Creek ring a bell to you? And he was like, well, there's Little Creek Naval Station where they do a lot of training. The Navy SEALs have, you know, a spot down the river that they do all their training. And then there's the farm about 20 minutes down the road or up the road. And I was like, the farm? And he was like, yeah, the farm, CIA farm. And I remember the shiver that I got down my spine because I remember seeing Joseph Kofor Black, who Hunter got appointed to the board of directors at Burisma in 2016, and his involvement with the CIA since the late 90s. And I had no doubt in my mind that there were other agencies involved in this, and that this was bigger than just me trying to protect myself.
Oh my God, boy, that's huge stuff, dude. That's a bomb. That's a bomb. Wow. We'll have to go and look at that and share again your book at the Gateway Pundit and share this whole story. Cause this is, that now things are, you know, the let go and the pieces fall together, you know, and, really amazing. So that's in your book too. So we're going to have to encourage people to go out and get your book. This is great. This is fantastic. Any other pieces any final things you'd like to say, I guess, before we, end this segment?
Well, I really want to thank all the people that have shown their support and stood behind me during all this, because I fought so hard to have nobody know who I was. I'm kind of an introvert. I like keeping to myself and helping one person at a time, not necessarily on this level. I'm not comfortable doing any of this, and I probably wouldn't have the strength to do it if it wasn't for the support that I received from everyone. So I just want to let everybody know how grateful I am.
Wow. Fantastic. And how grateful we are for you, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't know this stuff. And America needed to know this. America needed to know. And I'm looking at my laptop right now, and I got this picture of Hunter laying in it looks like in a bath with a cigarette in his mouth and a half a beard and just wasted. And we needed to know this. We needed to know how corrupt this family was, how disgusting it was, and the crimes they were committing. And I remember Rudy saying on Laura Ingraham before the election, you know, a few months before, maybe in October, he said, you know, I thought the Clintons were bad, but the Bidens, they might be worse. And I thought, no way, no way could anybody be worse than the Clintons other than Barack Obama. And now it's the Bidens. And also, for that matter, I always wondered, why did Barack pick Biden? Now it's just kind of fallen together as well, because I believe Barack was the most corrupt guy we've ever had in office, maybe until now. And it's because Biden was as corrupt as can be. And he stepped into that office and he just started selling the country. And God only knows what he's given to China, you know, and other countries. It's God only knows.
That's my fear, is the level of corruption that I saw on that laptop, and knowing what I know of how much money was given to the Biden family by our adversaries, it just really begs the question, how much leverage do they currently have over us?
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, thank you so much, John Paul. Really appreciate you joining me again. And we'll have to have you back again. I'm sure as this stuff unfolds, there's probably other things that are going to, that makes sense now. And if so, let us know. We'll get you back on, and we'll share more at the Gateway Pundit as well.
Yeah, I have not yet begun to fight.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Thanks so much, sir, for all your help. Really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Well, yep, thank you. That was John Paul MacIsaac. Please go out and get his book, American Injustice. He just told us about a chapter that we all need to read. And so go out and get yourself a copy. This is the Joe Hoff Show. We'll be right back.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's dad, Stanley, wants a climate lockdown of flying.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Environmental activist Stanley Johnson, the father of former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, had this to say about meeting our climate goals.
It actually means that countries need to divvy up this carbon budget between them. And then they need to divvy up the sectors. And then they need to have the measures which deal sector by sector with getting the... And if that means actually some of us are told, well, you can't go on a plane, that's fine. That's part of the national plan.
There you have it, saying the quiet part out loud. You won't be able to fly to meet net zero goals, depending on what sector you're in. Sounds a little East German, doesn't it? You were warned about coming climate lockdowns, restrictions on driving, on travel, on free speech, on energy, on agriculture, on meat eating. You are being forced to save the planet, whether you want to or not. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Hi, Gemma Simon here from the Newcastle Jets for RAD. Playing any sport means setting the right example. And it's not just about how players focus and behave when they're on the field. It's also about their actions and behaviours off it. That includes things like drink driving, drug driving, and driver distractions. No one can perform properly if they're under the influence or distracted. So, make sure you make the right decisions when it comes to getting behind the wheel of a car, and you'll definitely earn respect for it.
A message from RAD.
This is the Joe Hoff Show on TNT Radio.
Wow, that was an incredible interview with John Paul MacIsaac. Please go out and get a copy of his book, American Injustice. It's a bombshell of a book. So, especially now as we're finding out more and more about the Bidens and how corrupt and how criminal these people are, and our DOJ and FBI and how they've been hiding for them and protecting them. It's like, you know, how long can you protect for this kind of people? And so what you do is you indict people like these January 6 guys. So getting back to Boylan's story, there was like 10, 12, 15 guys that saw what happened to Roseanne Boylan. What happened to them? They all got arrested. They're all sitting in jail. That Jake Lang's been in jail for 2 years, hasn't had a court date yet. And then they go in front of this DC court and they're thrown in jail, they're thrown in prison. And that's what they do. They cover it up. They bury it. They shove you in prison. Maybe even have you killed in prison. That's what happened to Whitey Bulger eventually. He was killed when it came out that, he was working with Mueller. Suddenly he's shipped between prisons and dies the next day in the new prison. What's going on? I mean, America, we got to stand up. Do we want a free and fair country or not? We've got goons running our FBI and DOJ. Same people are as the Bidens. These people are sick. They're freaking disgusting, evil. I mean, look at what they're doing. And we got a girl, Roseanne Boylan. And the thing, too, what they did with her, they burned her body. They cremated her. Family couldn't even see her. And then they say she died from a drug overdose. How can we tell? Well, the body's cremated. Well, how can we tell? We have to trust you, this corrupt coroner in D.C.? Are you kidding me? She wasn't on drugs. She was in recovery. 20 people that week probably saw her at her meeting, some sort of recovery meeting, saying, no, it's one of the – I look up to her. She's got 7 years. She's my idol. And that's who she was. And she liked Trump. Her sin was she liked President Trump, like another 70-some million Americans. That's her sin. She liked Trump and loved this country. And she saw this election get stolen. And I was talking to Pam Geller this morning, actually, after having her on yesterday. Great interview yesterday. Unbelievable. The lady's at a depth that few people go. I mean, she's so smart and is able to see the truth. You know, I think when you get to a certain level of spiritual, it's just you can see. And we were talking. And, about so much and about our discussion yesterday and that's it. At some point you can just kind of see through this garbage and you gotta be strong. And, we gotta fight against this stuff. There's so much that she shared, that was just so, just almost poetic. And that's what it is when you get a real strong thinker. And John Paul MacIsaac, wow, what a deal. You know, he didn't ask for this. He's just doing his job. He's got a business, the American dream. Start your own company, you know, make some bucks, and, live free. Go to work, come home, spend time with your family. friends, enjoying life, do the things you want to do. It's the dream. And then comes walking in Hunter Biden, probably a cigarette in his mouth for all we know, saying he's got some laptops. He just wanted to, can you back this up for me? Can you get the information off it? Then he never shows up again. Or he shows up, I guess, in like a day or so later and says, hey, yeah, here's the flash drive you can shove all this stuff on. So he shows up for that. Then he never hears from him again. I wonder if Hunter was, I actually really wonder if he was just high the whole time and doesn't remember any of it. So when this computer repairman, John Paul Mac Isaac, started asking him, hey, come on in, you got your laptop? He didn't know what he was talking about. I'll bet you that's what it was. I bet you it was all blackout. He's on a 3-4-day binge on cocaine like some of these guys do. Can't remember a thing, you know, later. Can't remember, don't know who they talked to, where they were at. Blackout. And that's what happens. These drug addicts and alcoholics that really, you know, abuse themselves and get caught up in the devil's work with that, with addictions and how addictions destroy families. But Roseanne Boylan, she was in recovery. She's the opposite. So you had Hunter Biden coming in, practicing alcoholic addict, just monster. And I remember saying this as I started digging into Hunter Biden's laptop, because I was one of the first people as well to kind of get into it. And then we put a series of posts up at the Gateway Pundit that were shocking about how he was involved with hookers and drugs and alcohol and money. We knew the money stuff that was coming out of New York Post, but the seediness is the stuff we put up and the family knowing and the family seediness. And it was like, oh my God. And I think at that point I've heard from a source that the FBI started to freak when we put this stuff up a week before the election. It was damaging because these guys are so crooked and so disgusting. And that was Hunter. And that's what, you know, that was the deal with Hunter. He never was held accountable. Not the typical addict eventually gets caught and thrown in jail. Not Hunter. Not Hunter. He got a get out of jail free card. He gets thrown out of the military. No big deal. The guy couldn't even make it 8 months in the military without being caught with, you know, cocaine in the system. And that's Hunter. And he had all the money in the world and no accountability. And he's a full-fledged drug addict. He was a monster. On the other hand, you have Roseanne Boylan, this lady who was in recovery, helping other people recover. And her family will never know what happened to her because they cremated her body. They cremated her body because they beat it so badly. This black woman beat her cop, Capitol Police woman, who goes to the Super Bowl short time later in reward for what she did. She beat that body so badly. It was so badly bruised, they had to destroy that body. And this is it. They don't care. These evil, this block of evilness with Pelosi and the Bidens and Obama, just nasty, nasty, evil people trying to take over this government and steal it from the majority. We are the majority. These evil people, they don't care. You got 10, 15 guys in jail today. They don't care. Guys that shouldn't be there, they don't care. They do not care. And that's just the way it goes with them. You're just a number. It's like this Dave DePappy, or is it Paul or Dave? David DePappy, that goes in into the Pelosi home with Paul Pelosi one night. Pelosi calls 911. They come. And suddenly, DePappy's behind bars. We can't hear from him at all. We don't know what he said, other than he says he's not guilty. For some reason, all the security cameras didn't catch the guy breaking into the Pelosi home. None of that makes sense because DePappy's just another commodity, like drugs and alcohol and hookers, just to be used. Got in a little trouble? We'll just delete the tapes and we'll move on. That's what I want to see. I want to see the tapes of him breaking into that house because they've got him. If he did, they got him. And the reason we haven't seen him, because he didn't do it. And just like these January 6 guys that saw Roseanne Boylan get murdered, the reason we haven't heard about it, because they're in jail. They're just numbers. They don't care about these people. Let's set them up. And that's what's been going on this week with these January 6th guys from the Oath Keepers and Proud Boys. They're setting them up, saying they acted seditiously. These guys did nothing wrong. I don't even know if they were near the Capitol. And they're getting arrested for sedition. The reason is they need that so they can say President Trump committed sedition, so they can get him out of the way, so they can keep their power base. It's a minority of people trying to run this country. Minority of evil, sick people. Look at the face of Hunter Biden, crazy Joe Biden when you see this. Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Paul Pelosi. This is the people that want to run this country, that want this power, this thirst for it, and don't care if people go to jail and die in prison. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care about you or me. They don't care. If they have to attack John Paul Mac Isaac and call him a Russian asset, they don't care. This is what we're up against, folks. It ain't nice. And we got to be straight up and be courageous like John Paul Mac Isaac. Again, go out there, get his book, American Injustice. Great to hear from him today. God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow on the Joe Hoff Show.